Pickaxe.
If you like to eat stress-free and healthy, like me, you can do it this spring with Factor. They have delicious, ready-to-eat meals, everyone is fresh, never frozen, and chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 different options, including popular ones such as Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or like me, vegan and veggie. There are more than 60 add-ons you can discover every week, such as breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. If you're looking for gourmet options, there are meals that have premium ingredients, such as filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini and asparagus. And they are no fuss, no mess. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and enjoy the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. This month, we're celebrating Earth Day. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head on over to factormeals.com/pickaxe50 and you can use code PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your second box. That's PICKAXE50 at factormeals.com/PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is going. Check it out.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hey everybody, you are tuned live to 99.2 FM, hot on your dial, classic rock with the Triforce crew on a Thursday morning. I'm joined by Sips and Lewis. How are you guys doing?
That was perfect, hey. Flax, except for you had to go with the Triforce crew. Yeah, you gotta like have a lot of effects and stuff in there too.
With Sips. Show me. Scott, you got to have all those.
And Lewis.
Yeah, you got to have all those dumb sound effects.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
They love that gimmicky soundboard, and you could tell that the DJ's been doing it for absolutely fucking years.
They
and
always
loves all
have
those
a news helicopter.
Sounds.
Like, they always have fucking just the dumbest shit. They got the Doppler radar for the weather and everything. I don't know what. I don't know what's up with American radio stations.
You know what I think it is? It's the same thing with all American news presenters talking the same way. They all have the exact same cadence. Like when they're doing the live report, they hit the same syllables, they hit the same points in the conversation, and they go up and down at the same point. Today, Thursday, on this very intersection, an accident between two vehicles. It's like up, down, blah, blah, blah. And the thing is, if you hear someone that doesn't do it that way, they stick out like a sore thumb.
They do.
It's easier just to go with the flow. You just do it the way everybody else does it, and you just become another professional news guy. No, you're not going to stand out. No one's going to say, oh, yeah, it's that guy. Like, do you remember there was that weatherman? I'm going to do a Triforce classic. We have definitely spoken about this before.
Which weatherman is it?
That's
which
the motto of the Triforce podcast. You're listening to 99.2 Triforce podcast. You've definitely heard this before.
We've spoken about this before. Yeah.
Oh, my God. We've done 100 episodes. Like, there's no way we're not repeating ourselves.
Rein that in, sir. We've done 99.2 episodes, Sips, this being the 99.2th.
Man, you know what? I think this is one of the longest things I've ever committed to in my life besides being married.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of podcasts come out of this, and it's
they're all the same.
I mean, Lewis, you're a lot like me, I think, where like you start something with these great intentions and you're like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. And then after a while, you just stop doing it. You just give up or whatever.
Yeah, it's called the Bodega Book.
Yeah. Yeah. Flax, I guess you're in the same boat. But with
Triforce,
it's
finished now.
Weird.
Maybe now I'm jinxing it, though.
Now that I'm sort of drawing attention to it, watch, it'll fizzle out and we won't do it
anymore. You know what I like about this is it's a fixed time.
Yeah.
And there's more than one of us doing it. Like, if it was just me doing this, I would do it for a few weeks and then stop. But three is the perfect number.
Yeah. It's the magical.
Because it's enough it's people that even if one of them gets a little...
It's the Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. It's the James... It's the Clarkson, Hammond, and May. You know, it's like the perfect...
It is.
The Hat Films. It's the cross... The crisscross, trot.
Yeah.
And the other one.
There's only two guys in crisscross, but I see what you mean.
That's why they call them crisscross.
It's
not crisscross.
It's like
Chris.
Bros and yeah, Two's Company.
Or Bros, as apparently some people thought it was.
Bros, like Super Mario Bros.
I think three people is also the right number. If you think about when you think about a marriage or a date, or something like that, you know, get boyfriend girlfriend. It's two people, right? You don't want to go out and have two people and then a third person, the gooseberry, right?
Right.
The extra person. But when you have a conversation, three people is good because otherwise two people might just agree and there's really no
conversation,
you know,
there.
Volatility to the conversation.
Well, that's never the case
anywhere.
When I'm in a conversation because I will always try and do the counterpoint even if I don't think, even if I don't have any education on it.
I don't think that's intentional, Lewis. You make it out it's kind of I'll take one for the team and play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
I don't think I just think it's you, brother. Yeah.
I'm just argumentative. I'm just an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm used to it. Fuck. So no, newscasters. Go on, let's continue that thread. I like where that was going.
Well, the ones back in the studio always have that like that garbage charm, don't they? Like it's not charming at all, and you end up feeling just a sense of loathing towards them because they're just talking so unnaturally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's, I don't know. It's like a radio voice seems more tolerable somehow, you know, like especially you hear people that have been on the radio for years. I mean, I think this kind of applies to us as well. You know, we're very sort of confident in front of a microphone, right? Like we can sit here and talk and be like expressive and stuff like that. The first time you go to record yourself and you're not like that at all, right? Is this something that you just get better at or
no,
whatever,
it's like you're
time?
Holding in the shits the first time you try and record.
Yeah.
You're constantly oh, okay. So, hello. Welcome. I'm recording myself. and this is me. This is what I sound like. And then you play it back and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't sound like that. That's weird.
But studio news announcers, particularly it seems in North America, I don't know if this applies elsewhere. I mean, in Britain, they're very, very sort of low key and conservative, aren't they? They're, you know, they're not over the top at all. They're just very sort of like, they just, you know, give you the information and it's all presented in a very sort of, I don't know, like...
It's pretty straightforward. It's not, they don't jazz it up.
Yeah.
I feel like in America, they're trying to sell you the story. You know, they're trying to make you...
And they always have like these weird jokes that they all fake laugh at and stuff.
Oh,
and
man.
It's awkward as hell. It's just, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
It's kind of like office-y, polite just jokes though, you know. It's almost like they want to kind of joke with each other, but I think the other thing is it has got this kind of authenticity attached to it, right? Like when you're watching it, when they do speak with that cadence and that kind of in that specific way, it's very much like familiar and authentic to you, and you think it's true and you think it's real, right? You believe it. You don't question.
Yeah. You recognize them as professional news people just from the way they talk, right? But that's not, it's not the way anybody speaks. And if someone was telling you something, you wouldn't want them to do it in that way.
No,
no.
But this one weather guy, he was in the UK, he might have been on Sky, and he would come up, he was a bit, he had a bit of a Bill Nye thing going on with him. But he'd sort of sidle up to the weather and go, oh, I've got some rain coming in from the east. It doesn't look very nice. A little bit of a storm cloud here in the channel. And you might notice some westerly breezes coming in, but nothing really to worry about. And it's sort of like, what is this guy? Has he just wandered onto the set?
Like,
yeah, is he someone's uncle? Like, it's just weird. But it kind of threw you to the point where you weren't listening to the weather. You were just focusing on this guy's weird sort of character. So I think that's part of it, is if I come out and say, you won't believe it, some guy got murdered, holy shit, it was right in your neighborhood. You're going to come out and say, you know, sadness today in a small neighborhood, and when Mr. Father of Four, Ben Mercer's, was found dead in his cabin. You know, so you've got to do it in that way.
It's weird. It sounds like that now, but I don't know if it ever, I don't know if it was always like that. I think it's something that's evolved, because I don't remember it being that over the top, like, you know, back when, even when I was younger.
No, they had character. Like, anyone remember Walter Cronkite? He was a newsreader.
I remember, but he wasn't really over the top, though. He was
He had a voice, and he was just himself. And, yeah, you know, everybody recognized him.
Yeah,
there were certain news guys that had, like, Hugh Edwards on the BBC, right? The Welsh guy.
Yes,
he's very good. The way he reads the news, I always think Hugh's telling me what's up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's like a very, very saggy dog-faced, you know?
And Fiona Bruce as well. Man, she's really good too. Fiona Bruce, just like...
Fiona Bruce, excellent. George Alagaya. Shout out to George Alagaya. You know, yeah,
shout out to these great newsreaders.
Fiona Bruce, honestly, she's got a commanding presence. She has gravitas. Like, she looks like she's in complete control. A fucking bomb could go off in the studios and she'd be cool.
I think the British newscasters have their own sort of, it's a kind of a copy though of that cadence though, you know, that the other newscasters have. It is shared across the world. Everyone is very serious, and they cast news in a very serious way. You even see it with, like, North Korea, don't you? With, they had, didn't they famously have that kind of cute old lady who used to read the news?
Yeah.
And she did it for like 30 years or something. And, yeah, you know, with a very, I want to say Western style, you know, very much reading stuff to the audience, kind of in a behind a news desk, you know.
No, it felt like some piece of Asian theater
propaganda.
The way she spoke, and you know, she would really shout, and sort of she was really proud and like it was all good news. It was always all good news about how great everything was in North Korea.
They have to be like that though, because it's, you know, they have to.
Yeah. Just imagine you're reading the news in North Korea. There's going to be some guy there with a gun just waiting in case you
to behind
go
the
off
curtain.
Script. Yeah.
You say one wrong thing.
Now to the weather. Yeah, the weather today will be beautiful as it was yesterday. There is definitely not a storm coming in from the north. Ah, they just dragged this guy off the
just
set.
Just executor on TV. You were not supposed to talk about the storm.
Did you hear about that guy who went out there as like a student? And he stole a poster because obviously he wanted a souvenir.
Oh shit.
They claimed he was
North
a spy,
Korea.
They banged him up, made him prison and all the rest of it. What are you doing? Go to North Korea. Like, I don't get it. Why would you go there and steal a poster? Like,
I think it's to get arrested, it's to get in the news. It's to live that crazy drama. It's such a crazy place. It's like, you know, it's just
so it's, that's it's a bucket it's, list for that guy.
It is like
get
a dark
arrested
tourist
by a terrifying regime,
isn't it?
Come on.
I mean?
No.
It's like going to Chernobyl or whatever and walking around. So my cousin, okay, this is all like a bit weird, but first of all, the Bodega book is being done and and it's can I say who've got a bit of help from? Anyway, I guess I can say. My cousin has had a look through it for us, for me and Pyrion.
Here we go.
And his
quality standard has just dropped. you know it's bad when something is delayed and then it's like a family member is involved.
Well, he's like a professional. He actually works as a guy who reads books for a living and then recommends them to which one gets published.
Right.
So he sits around reading books all the time. So he read Bodega. He really liked it. He was really positive
about it, wasn't it? That Sips, he liked it. Can you believe it?
He actually liked it.
He actually liked
There's a lot to like in Bodega, though. I think it's good. I think it was good. I used to love listening to the stories. It was nice.
But, that was the biggest surprise of my life when we had a chat with him. And he said, first of all, and I thought he was going to say, this is no good. You know what I mean? Like, I honestly thought the first thing he was going to say was, this is garbage. You've got to go back to the drawing board with this. But he was like, first of all, loved it. Thought it was great. And I was like, what? Like, I could not believe it.
Sometimes, though, and I'm not saying that he doesn't like it, because I truly believe that he does, okay? Let me just preface with that.
Don't do this.
But sometimes people in that capacity open with that all the time. You know what I mean?
Like, No.
That is a very typical opener for somebody
they
reviewing
open with, it's garbage.
Creative work, right?
They open with, it's garbage. Like, and then he gave me a huge list of things to change that were all like, That's really good.
They open with its garbage if you're, like, top of the pile, right? Like, if you're the guy who owns, like, EMI Records or something like that, yeah, he'll open up with that's garbage because he's looking for the next big thing or whatever. Anyone below him is always going to open up with, first off, let me just say, amazing, because they're hopeful that they can spin this for you into a big moneymaker because they'll profit off the back of it, right?
Why have you got to shit on me?
I'm not shitting on you, man. I'm just bringing the realism.
I don't need that.
So we're not publishing it through him or through his agency or anything. All he's done is he gets nothing from this.
Okay, good. All right.
Other than an independent person who doesn't listen to Triforce and doesn't know anything about it and just has no clue except works in the industry. So no, he wanted to just take a couple of chapters out the middle because they were a bit out of place and save them for, I don't know, some other book or something. And he wanted you to change a couple of things around, didn't he?
But I had no idea how bad my grammar is. Like, when I was looking through the edits, it was like all these grammatical changes.
It's mostly
changes.
Just commas and stuff. But the thing is, yeah, mostly it's the same thing. It's like the way you choose a grammatical style. Like when you write, like, pard, for example, the correct... that you have, like, a style guide when you start, usually, which is that pard is written apostrophe P-A-R-D. And I think you were doing it with, like, a capital P. So a lot of the changes were just... grammatical
they
stuff
were tidying
like that.
Up also I mean, bear in mind, much of this was written with kids around, so I'm trying to do one thing and another thing, like, at the same time.
Yeah, so halfway through the book there's just like a bit where Pyrrhon's like got a shopping list, and then there's like a bit where he's like yelling at someone, and it's like, why have you typed this out? It's like, what are you doing?
Why is Bodega telling
Raph
to tidy
that in
room?
Your mouth, yeah. Oh my god. Anyway, so yeah,
in other news, a book written by Pyrrhon Flax will soon be hitting the shelves. At episode 100, maybe we'll do it. How about that?
That would be pretty sweet.
How does this work then, Flax? I mean, you did the whole thing, so I assume that you're just going to get paid for it, like, just you, right?
I mean, the 30 or 40 people that buy a copy, I guess. I mean, I assume that whatever money there is, we have to pay whoever publishes the book.
Right.
Like,
we're
doing
it ourselves.
Company.
We're printing it ourselves.
So okay, right. So it's, yeah, whatever. I mean, I have no idea. I just hope it gets screwed over.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. So there's going to be a bill for you.
Do you want me to represent you in a legal sense? I don't have any formal training, but I've watched a lot of TV shows, so.
I know some lawyers. Mrs. F knows a lot of lawyers. I'll get them involved. I'll take this to the fucking Supreme Court, Brindley, if I need to.
Yeah, yeah.
You Terps, I know you're listening.
Open strong. That's it. That's what you got to do. You got to like scare them away from making any fuck over decisions. You know what I mean? Like,
today, strong winds have hit the island of Jersey. Local lawyer Sips speaks out against the wind.
Yeah. Well, it sure was windy, I'll tell you this much. I was trying to drink a coffee, and the wind just came right underneath the coffee and blew it up into my face. Scalded, burned all my skin off, and now I'm dead.
Wind has delayed shipments of vegetarian sausages to the island, causing local resident Sips to be angry about his barbecue.
Oh, my God.
Then they cut back to him for a final quote. You know, like, preferably something funny that he says. And then they cut to local law enforcement, some guy they've shoved in front of the camera, sheriff or whatever, saying, well, obviously this is a very unfortunate incident. The investigation is ongoing. I can say no more at this time. Thank you. And then they cut. A bunch of other questions. They quickly cut back to the reporter with a sign off. It's like...
Yeah, yeah. You get that... You get like all the camera clicks, and then you have like, wait, Jared, wait, wait, wait. And then it just like cuts off. Like, you don't have any...
Like a zombie
this interview
movie.
Was over.
Yeah.
No, it's got like, it's got a shitty joke, and it's like, well, let's just say that.
with a little wry smile, you won't believe this one
was blowing on the other side of the island. It's like, what?
Wait.
I've always wanted to be given a press conference and give my prepared statement, and then as I'm walking away, everybody's clamoring for questions, and I'll stop and I'll make like I'm turning back. Well, then I'm going to go anyway.
Oh, it's like a reverse encore.
Yeah, that would be great.
You should do a bodega press conference at YogCon, and we can stage a whole bunch of like reporters and flash photography and stuff. And,
that would be funny, actually.
Yeah, you should do it.
Yeah.
That'd be really good.
Mr. Period, will we see the return of the Dildonians?
The Dildonian representative is unavailable to speak about that at the moment, but if you buy the book, you'll find out more. That's all I have to say. And I'll like throw something, kick something over, punch a photographer, Bjork style, storm off. Okay. Always wanted to do that.
Yeah, the storm off is particularly nice. You know, when you try to leave like...
when you hear the crackle of the microphone as well as they tear
it off. You try to
leave
very gracefully, but then you turn around and you get like all the camera snapping, the people like, you know, shouting for you to come back or whatever quickly. But then you bump into somebody who's in the way, and you're already like kind of nervous and stressed out at that point. So you're like, get the fuck out of my way! You just like gotta like push them out of the way.
You tend not to see like too many of the reporters walking out on the guests, though. But it does happen.
No, the reporters don't. It's usually somebody who's like under fire for something, right? Like you know, they have to give a really tough press conference where they have to. And I admit, yes. I was masturbating on the bus. No more questions. I gotta go. Get the fuck out of my way. Come on.
Wait, we have so many questions, please.
Yeah.
Mrs. F took part in a company pub quiz on Tuesday.
Nice.
And her team won it. Her team won the pub quiz, which I was very excited by. And the first thing that I asked her was, can you give me the questions? And she gave me the questions from the pub quiz. So I've got like a shitload of questions here.
Okay.
There's loads. I'll give you an example.
The Triforce pub quiz.
Triforce pub quiz. Which daily weekday national newspaper in the UK has the biggest circulation?
Right. I'm going to say it's probably something like maybe... like the Times.
This is like when you're padding out the essay. It's like when you write the question out. The biggest circulation weekly newspaper in the UK.
I'm gonna say my top one is okay. I think it's this order. Okay, you ready for this? I think it's
give us
order.
The top three.
The top three. My number one is The Sun on Sunday. Okay. Mm. My number two is The Mail on Sunday. And then I think my number three is the Sunday Times. You know why I'm saying this? Because I think a lot of people buy the paper daily, but I think a lot of people buy the paper on Sunday.
You think six times as many people buy it on Sunday as the daily one?
Yeah, I'm very confident.
All right, well, let me tell you the correct answer is actually the Metro.
Oh, fuck. The paper that you get, because it's free. That feels like bullshit. I think a lot of those fucking numbers are just not picked up, or like pigeons.
Oh. Well, it used to be The Sun. Last year it was The Sun. This year it's The Metro.
The biggest circulation newspaper in England is The Metro. That's right. 300 pigeons.
A free leaflet.
Yeah, it's crazy because I Googled this and like while you were talking about it, and those answers were what came up on Google. So I guess Google's wrong.
So if you look at Wikipedia,
individually selling
top 10 UK newspapers by circulation.
Right. Look on Wikipedia, which has 2019. It goes Metro, then The Sun, then The Daily Mail, then the London Evening Standard, then The Mirror.
Okay, this
then
Metro
the Times,
just came from out of nowhere, though, because like in 2018...
No, it definitely didn't come from out of nowhere.
In 2018, it wasn't even in the top 10. So what did the Metro do to become so popular?
No, you're definitely looking at the wrong figures. In 2018, it was second.
Okay, well, the Daily Mail is second, according to top 10 UK newspapers by circulation.
All right, I'm going to post this. Look at this. Whatever you're reading is out of date. This is up to date. There, I posted it on the Discord.
But this is Wikipedia, though, right?
Yeah, it's fake news.
This is from, all figures originate from the Audit
Bureau
of Circulation.
God, look at that downward trend. There's a fucking sad downward trend in newspapers. So, fucking hell.
Look at that. The Guardian has halved its numbers. The Sun has halved its numbers in a decade. Anyway, question two. Criminal gangs were cleaning up from parking meters in London earlier this year. But what household appliance did they use to get the cash?
Fucking what are you talking about? Criminal gangs like using fucking toasters to fucking steal pennies from parking meters. Oh, quickly. Put those pounds out there.
Toasters is the wrong answer.
It's a household utility thing?
The clue is in the question.
Right.
Criminal we should have done the old thing. We write the question down.
From parking meters in London this year. It's Hoovers. These Hoovers.
They're sucking
the
pounds out.
Sucking
the
coins out with a Hoover.
Parking meters.
You can't suck a coin out of something with a vacuum. That's crazy.
Buddy, they were doing it.
Fuck it down.
What recently forced the Liberian president to work from home?
Oh, Ebola?
Who cares?
No.
Jeez.
Snakes in the office.
Snakes. Snakes.
Love that.
Sure.
No, this is my absolute favorite one. This is the last one, I promise. In which northern city has the public just voted a branch of Nando's as its best restaurant?
Oh my god.
Oh, it's gotta be like Sheffield or Luton.
That's not the north. That's just North London.
Oh, that's kind of where the north starts, though, in my opinion.
No.
Hull.
It's Preston.
Preston.
Of course.
Shout out to Preston with the best restaurant is a Nando's.
That's
amazing. I feel bad for them.
Preston, yeah.
Well, Nando's is great. I love Nando's. I mean, you know, maybe there's not much fine dining in Preston. Nando's is...
Maybe there's no dining in Preston except for one Nando's. Maybe that's all they got.
Nando's
is
revolutionized.
Preston a big place?
Preston. They got a football team.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
It's not very good.
And a Nando's.
Everywhere's got a football team. It's England, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. They do have hundreds and hundreds of football teams in England.
Do you have a football team where you live?
Population's 122,000 in Preston.
You have a rugby team where you live? Fucking, you don't have a football team.
Me?
Yeah.
We have the Richmond and Hampton team, football team.
Wow.
And they play down in Hampton.
Right.
We have the Harlequins, which is the local Twickenham team.
Right.
They play at the Stoop, which I could walk to if I was into rugby. This would be ideal. But I'm not, so I don't.
You don't partake?
I don't. I've never even been there.
Right.
Which is, I've lived here for 15 years. I probably should have gone at some point. The most exciting thing to happen there in recent memory was Elton John did a concert there.
Right.
And I missed that as well. But I could hear it all from my garden.
Hey, speaking of Elton John, there's a movie coming out about him.
There is, yeah. Elton John biopic.
Yeah, by Yeah, that's right.
Is it called Elton?
No, it's not. It's called Rocket Man or something like that. But it's in the same sort of vein as your, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody, the Queen, Freddie Mercury biopic, and there's that Motley Crue. I think these biopics now are getting a bit more popular. You know, maybe now that they have like the technology to go back over like really famous concerts and stuff and almost like remake them and whatever, which is kind of exciting, isn't it? Because like you get to learn a little bit more about, you know, these artists and their impact.
True.
And
it definitely gives you a picture.
Because I think
like
if you go to
world.
See Elton John now, I don't know what he's doing, if he's even doing anything. He's got like a residency in Vegas, or he had one for a while or whatever. It's probably a really different experience than, you know, perhaps seeing
40 years ago. Yeah.
Oh man, that fuck. So when he played at the Stoop, that was part of his farewell tour, and I fucking missed it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I could have easily gone. So that's it. Yeah, it's going to end in England in 2021. He's doing that's it. 3 years, that's it, and then I'm going to retire.
He's old,
so,
though. But, like, I think...
He's not that old.
I think getting to see him...
Getting a biopic made about him, I think that means he's pretty old.
He's
pretty old. He's 72. That's not, like, unbelievably old.
Still pretty old, though.
It's pretty old, but he's amazing. Elton John's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
What a fucking national treasure Elton John is.
I would love to see, like, a biopic made about... like a really good Beatles one could be good... Like a really good Led Zeppelin. Like, they have to be really good, right? I thought Bohemian Rhapsody was really well done. I thought it was really,
really?
Good. Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was pretty good. They put a lot of attention to detail in it and stuff, and I thought it was just pretty decent. It was all right. And if they did that with some other, like, bigger, you know, bands from, like, the sort of, like, the 60s and 70s.
They're
going to
do
80s.
It. Like,
I would,
it,
I would
sure.
totally be up for that. I think it's
well,
interesting. It's really
Bryce
good.
Dallas Howard is in this, so I might see it because I am in love with that woman.
Did you not like? Did you not like Bohemian Rhapsody? You watched it? You didn't like it?
I have no intention of watching it.
Oh,
I don't
right,
like
okay.
Queen. I hate Queen.
Right. Okay.
I hate them, and if it looks really bad, and did you not see? You know the guy. What's his name? The lad who played...
Yeah, Mr. Robot guy.
Yeah. Did you see the weird thing he posted where he sort of talks about himself?
Rami Malek.
Yeah, Rami Malek. He was like, I like walks in the park. I like small dogs. And I like a Snickers bar that's not too warm and not too cold. I like lollipops. I like mold that grows on bread. He fucking freaks me out, that dude. He's a great
he would be a great villain as well. Yeah. Like, oh
yeah, because he fucking weirds me out. He's like Joffrey walking around in real life, you know what I mean? The dude looks weird, he's creepy and weird, and I just don't like him, and it's completely unfair. I'm really sorry, you know, that I don't like it. I don't know, there's just something about the guy that freaks me out.
That's fair enough, man, who cares. What do you not like about Queen?
Why do you hate
Queen?
Fucking, I've listened to them so fucking much.
I think that's part of it as well, isn't it? That if he portrays something, even a good guy like Freddie Mercury, that you just don't like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've got nothing against Freddie Mercury at all. Like, the guy was a legend. He can definitely sing. That Live Aid concert where that is incredible. Like, he's an amazing performer. But when you're 43 fucking years old and you've listened to Queen whole cocking life, same with the Beatles and all that shit, I'm fucking sick of it. I can't do it anymore.
When they play We Are the Champions every time your team wins, like,
it's just awful. And we will rock you. It's like music made by people that are recovering from a brain injury, and this is what
it's like. An office thing, though. It's like the fucking, it's like that.
Hijacked by like that, but what, you know, those songs when they came out, obviously,
like that safe office generic thing that they would play at the pub quiz. Do you know what I mean? Mrs. Fact's pub quiz, and
that's like all Take That music as well, isn't it? Like every song Take That have ever done is just like, you know that if you're gonna go to an office like
it's
pub
safe
quiz or something, that they're gonna play that today. This could be fucking every fucking exactly time. God damn.
And also, this is, I hope Mrs. F doesn't listen to this part of the podcast. I had a girlfriend when I was about 15 or so.
Uh-oh.
Who, she was a bit of a nut, and she really loved Queen.
Right.
To the point where when I'd go over to her house, that was all we would listen to. She only listened to Queen. And I mean, the whole time.
Maybe she was just going through a phase, though. Or do you think somewhere out there she is just still listening to Queen? She's old. She's like 43 years old.
Yeah.
Just still listens to Queen all the time. You know,
yeah. I don't
know. Can't get enough of Queen.
She had a lot of problems going on. She was, you know, girls at that age, they
How
can
old
either
was she?
Be cool. She
like
was 15.
12? Oh,
no,
my
she was
God.
15.
Love problems. Okay.
Because I was also 15, Lewis. That's how
it
works.
So what kind of music were you listening to at the time?
I was into metal at the time.
Right, okay.
You know, and you know, there was a lot of stuff in the 90s that was like...
heavy.
Yeah, like
the 90s was pretty heavy,
stuff.
Yeah.
It was pretty heavy. And, you know, that was what I was into. It was like guitar-driven kind of rock and metal and grunge and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And she was listening to Queen exclusively.
Okay.
And
well,
she
I mean,
was
if when you're like 10, 11, 12, you don't have any problems. But when you're like 50, you have a lot of problems. Everything's a problem.
I'm just imagining you going to this girl's house and all she's listening to on repeat is Bicycle Race by Queen, which makes it even creepier. Like, that's
it's
a
just,
really weird song, isn't it?
It was was annoying. And then, you know, you just listen to it for fucking years. It's the same song.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
thinks Bohemian Rhapsody is this great fucking song. I'm sick of it. I'm fucking
well,
sick
it was,
of it.
Well, it was hated
it
when it first came out. People did not like it at all.
Well, they were right then, and I'm right now.
It was one
now,
of those things
so
that just became, I think, funnily enough, I think it had a resurgence in popularity after like the 90s.
Wayne's
like
World.
Wayne's World.
It was
yeah,
in Wayne's World.
Was
yeah.
sort of introduced it to like the younger generation.
Are you annoyed because you lost your virginity to Queen and you're like,
no, I did
you're
not
like,
lose
you
my
wish
virginity
it was something
to
cooler.
I did yeah, not yeah. lose my virginity to Queen.
Come
Good
on.
For you.
No, I didn't. I assure you.
I want to ride my bicycle.
That would have been
ride
that
my
gives you like gives you like post-traumatic stress.
Yeah. Every time I hear the dinging bell of a bicycle, I start to convulse. Oh, fuck's sake. Oh, fair enough. I mean, if you don't like Queen for that reason, then that's fair enough.
That's
like,
just
I
one
just,
of many
I was
reasons.
Just interested because you just seem to like you know, you were like, I hate Queen, like, yeah. like very passionate hatred
for it. That definitely deserves...
Surprising. It's not something you hear every day. Most people don't hate Queen.
Right, exactly. And I'm not just saying it to be like a hipster and be cool. No. Like, you know, I have a reason. Yeah. That's my reason. Can we talk about Bryce Dallas Howard some more? Because she's fucking gorgeous.
I don't even know who this is, actually.
Did you watch Bryce Dallas Howard?
Oh, she's come up
Ron Howard's
away.
Daughter, right? So,
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah. So, did you watch Black Mirror?
No.
Yeah.
So, do you remember the episode where you go around and people upvote you on whether you're nice and they give you an extra like or a dislike and you have a certain ratio, and if you have a bigger ratio, you're more likely to get social advancement and all the rest of it. So she's angling for people to like her. She was in that episode. She was brilliant.
She was in Pete's Dragon.
I don't care what she was in. She's gorgeous. She's made some junk movies, but I'm obsessed with her. I don't know why.
She was in the movie Parenthood in 1989. How old is she?
Oh, really?
She was born in 81. She's a year younger than me.
Yeah.
She was the girl in the yellow dress in Apollo 13. She played the surprised Who in How the Grinch Stole Christmas from 2000.
She was in that terrible movie that M. Night Shyamalan made.
A Beautiful Mind.
No, it wasn't that. He didn't make that. It was called The Village. No, she was in that, but it was a different one.
Spider-Man 3.
No, it was... Oh, what the fuck was it called?
The Lost of a Teardrop Diamond.
No, it wasn't that one.
Terminator Salvation?
No, it wasn't that one. M. Night Shyamalan.
50-50.
No, that's not one of his.
Restless.
No.
No, she produced that one. Never mind. Pete's... No, that's not M. Night Shyamalan. The Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2?
No, it wasn't that one.
Well, Jurassic World.
No. What Twilight spiral have we entered here?
Lady in the Water.
Lady in the Water.
Lady in the Water.
Okay.
So this movie is, actually the highlight of my film review career. Had to go to the premiere, got to meet Bryce Dallas Howard and ask her some questions and stuff like that, and Paul Giamatti.
This is in 2006.
Right. It was a fucking long time ago. I just quit my job, and this was what I was doing, was reviewing movies for a website. And there she was on the red carpet. I was in the little press bit with all the other guys.
Were you bald?
Little dictaphones. No, I had hair at the time. This is 2006, so I still had a bit of hair.
How much?
And she was well, enough. I mean, more than now.
Look, I'm trying to picture it, okay?
Wow. God, this movie sounds crazy.
It is bonkers.
Listen to this. The film's plot concerns the superintendent of a Philadelphia apartment complex who discovers a young woman in the swimming pool. Gradually, he and his neighbors learn she is a water nymph, or narf.
A narf.
Whose life is in danger from a vicious wolf-like mystical creature called a scrunt.
The scrunt.
Tries to keep her from returning to her watery blue world.
Yep.
Wow.
This sounds absolute shit.
So it is so fundamentally flawed. It's 109 minutes. I sat through the whole fucking thing with this other film reviewer who I knew called Rosie, and she was cool. And we watched this film with our jaws on the floor because it's so fucking bad. It is one of his absolute monstrously bad movies. It's not as bad as The Happening, which is the most hysterically awful movie, but it's fucking close. Like, it's a hair's breadth from being that bad. The only thing that saves it, in my opinion, from utter awfulness is that Paul Giamatti is in it, and I really like Paul Giamatti, and Bob Balaban is in it, and I really like him, but that it's awful, and that the whole plot is so convoluted.
Right.
You have to see it to believe it. I recommend watching it just to appreciate how fucking awful it is, and the fact that they were still giving this guy money. It cost $70 million to make this movie. They gave him $70 million, and this is what he came up with. And apparently it was based on a story that he used to tell his kids at bedtime. Like, he made this fucking shit up for his kids at bedtime on the fly and thought, that'd make a great movie, and put it in a movie, and then somebody gave him $70 million to make it. It's fucking awful. But yeah, it's so bad, it's worth watching.
Right. Yeah, so she is going to be in Rocket Man. She stars in Rocket
Man. She's in Rocket Man, yeah, she's in Rocket Man.
Oh, right, okay. No, she's good.
That's why I was talking about it.
I like.
She's great.
I like her. So the thing, I mean, she was in that great Black Mirror episode, right? And I hear that Black Mirror is quite popular in China. Okay.
Really?
And yeah, very very popular.
Well,
I think
it's popular everywhere, is it not? People seem to go on.
Well, they're
on
particularly
about
popular. Like, really very very highly sort of viewed, and people are aware of it. And I think it's because they have this kind of systems being built into their society right now. Like, you know, there's this sort of scary,
like scary monitoring and shit like that.
Yeah, there's like scary blacklists you could be put on and things for jobs and travel and cars and things like this, like in driving. And like other people can report you for stuff and like take pictures of you and submit it and get paid for submitting you doing traffic infringements and stuff. There's a lot of stuff like QR codes are apparently like incredibly prevalent everywhere, and you have to kind of. I saw a thing about it and I was like, holy shit, China is like an amazing. You obviously went to China.
Yeah.
It's this huge, incredibly amazing place with some really kind of interesting like systems that they're like technological systems that they're building in to like monitor people and get people to behave. And I don't
it's
know,
scary.
Like,
it you is know what scary. Else is kind of crazy about China? They can build like a high rise building in like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
they,
it falls over on the third week though.
They manufacture in their factories, they manufacture like these parts of buildings, like they're bits of Lego or whatever. And then they ship them all down to the site and then they, it's like building a Jenga tower. It's already all built. They just like they slot them all in and weld them in place, and then boom, you've got like a high rise built in like 2 weeks. It's crazy.
So my friend who's Chinese, he told me that when they had the Olympics there, in order to clean it up, they literally got a bunch of buses, rounded up all the homeless people, put them on the buses, drove them out to the countryside, and just kicked them off the bus.
Nice.
Like out, and then went back. They just left them to it. Like a dog, you know what I mean? They just he's gone. Just let him loose in the country. They did that with the homeless people. That's China in a nutshell. Like they're just like, there's a homeless problem. How can we solve this? Get him on a bus, dump him in the countryside. Done. That's what China's like. So
they've got like really good like facial and like gait recognition cameras and stuff that can track people and like walk where they go and stuff. And you can like I watched this video of a guy who was driving along. It was like one of these. You know, like everyone has these, like what they called cameras on the front of their car, dash cams.
Yeah.
And like there was this crazy like car that just pulled out and like brake checked. Like he looked like he was driving like an absolute nutcase. And what people would often do is they would put the foot down and accelerate get past him and get away from it. And he would film them doing that. And that would he would send that in and get like 50 quid for reporting them for speeding.
Wow.
Because they'd, you know, done this overtaking in the wrong lane or whatever to get away from the guy who was driving like a nutcase. So, like, there's a lot of people kind of willing to take advantage of measures that they're putting in ostensibly for good reasons, but leading to this kind of crazy under... Like, it's also... Everything's changing at such high speed as well.
Well, it's like when people do the crash for cash thing... A lot of people, you can find videos all over YouTube. I've spent many hours watching dashcam videos from Russia and China. Seem to be the number one and two places for crazy dashcam videos. People will walk out into the road and then throw themselves on the bonnet of the car and claim injury and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
They'll point to their dashcam like, this isn't going to work, buddy. And they just get up and sort of walk off. Yeah, nice. It's like you have to have one. And lots of people reversing into you and then claiming you went into the back of them. Because most insurance companies, if the car was hit in the rear, the car that did the hitting in the rear is at fault, like almost automatically. It's like if you're hitting the side, it's generally the same thing as well. Because, you know, it has to be the other driver's fault in most cases because you've gone into the back of someone. So, you just reverse into them and say, oh, you crashed into me. But if you have a dash cam, that gets stopped. I have a dash cam, but I need to get it installed. The problem is... Took it to Halfords. They won't install it unless you buy it from them. And I said, why? And they said, here's their excuse. What if something goes wrong in the install? We're not covered. I said, so you're telling me that your guys that do the installing are so bad that they might break the dash cam during the installation? And he was like, it could happen. I was like, so that's it. So if I don't buy it from you guys, you won't install it? He was like, yeah. I said, great. Because most of the mechanics won't do it. They just like, all the ones around here go, no. So I don't know how to fucking install it. It's got all cables and shit. I don't want to break my car. I'll fuck it up.
That's just so fucking stupid, isn't it? Can you imagine being that unhelpful that you lose the company you work for, a customer for life? I would never fucking go there again.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's literally just order shit online.
It's just
stupid.
So fucking stupid. If you are a manager at Halfords or the owner of Halfords and you're listening to this...
Mr. Halford. Mike chance, Halford, I'm sure he's called. Yeah,
have a fucking word with your... idiotic staff. That's just fucking stupid. What a fucking waste.
I love how Sips has just sold his shares in Halfords.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
I was thinking of opening a branch of Halfords here on Jersey, but no more.
Good luck.
Keep dreaming. Holy
I
shit.
Just thought that was such a stupid excuse to literally say, well, we might break it. It's like, well, you're out the same amount. Like, you're out one dash count.
Did you get your shit food yet? Your meal replacement food?
Do you mean
your
the MREs?
High calorie, like prison
why
apocalypse
do you have to call
food?
It shit food? This is it's good enough for our fighting men and women.
Have you got it
it's
right there? In
it's
a plastic bag.
Yeah, I mean, the context in which they eat it, though, is it. Like, you know, I think anything would taste good if you were stuck in a trench, like, fighting for your life. You know what I mean? Your standards all of a sudden drop because you're so fucking hungry and your life
it's
is
not
being
World
threatened.
War One, lads. They're not giving them cans of rotten bully beef and rum. You know, it's all nutritionally balanced and stuff.
Tonight, our brave boys in the trenches chow down on bully beef and rum. Here's who keeps their spirits up for fighting the Hun.
I may have lost my teeth to the rot, but thank God for rum. Here to you, your majesty. Over the top, boys. Hurrah! Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to do a stream where I cook and eat one of these with the kids.
You
right?
don't have
I think
to cook them,
enjoy.
Though, right? You just open them and they cook
themselves?
No, you put water in them?
You cook them. Yeah, yeah. It's got like a little... It's got a little heating element. You put it in a bag with this heating thing. You add water... There's some chemical reaction. It goes nuts, generates a load of heat, boils the water, cooks
the food.
Why don't
you go camping or something? Fuck, you know, like, have an excuse. If you enjoy it so much, you got to do it in the right scenery, right?
Go camping.
It's like, it's not the same, is it? You know, it's like you know, if you're going to enjoy, like, a delicious, I don't know, steak, you want to, like, get, you know, light the candle, get, like, you know, get it all grilled up nice, you know, and, like, you know, lay the table, put the fancy cutlery down, get the china out, you know.
So you're saying I can't really enjoy an MRE unless
I'm
living...
Man, go on a camping murder mystery. I wish they... Do people do those? You know, like, you go to, like, a murder mystery party, you know, and you have to, like, figure out who did it or whatever. Do they ever do those... Do they do more elaborate ones where you go out to the woods and it's kind of like maybe a bit like Blair Witch?
I do. I think they.
Spooky,
I think you're talking about
you
laughing.
Yeah,
I think probably if you want to do it, Sips, I could probably hook you up with the right people.
That's more like a medieval murder mystery, though. I'm talking more like a modern one. Yeah, you know,
that sounds a bit scary, like the Portage serial killer. Just do a
You know, you just like you go, you set up your camp and stuff, and they're like, all right, guys. Now that you're all set up and everything, let's take a look at the evidence. And they take you out, and there's just like some woman crucified on a tree. You have
it's
to, like
an M. Night Shyamalan film.
You
there's
have
like a
to,
narf
like, figure
there.
Out what happened
it could be
to her
the narf
stuff.
In the swimming pool.
There's like a scrunch somewhere in the woods.
Her tits are missing
Stop.
And stuff. You gotta like.
My MRE's coming right back up if I've eaten this thing.
Fucking hell, you've really thought about this, haven't you? Yeah.
I think that would be really good. Oh, you know, it's just like...
tits are missing.
We're getting CGI. To the point now where people want different experiences. You know, like escape rooms aren't enough anymore. Now people want to feel like they're real detectives. I want to feel like I'm a real detective solving a real case, okay?
You said that just like some hard-bitten detective. Here's the Vic. Tits are missing. Put it in the book. You there, officer, have a look around for a pair of titties. You gotta be around here somewhere. No, Captain, I found a nipple. Good, stay on the trail. Put a circle of chalk around it. Only good look at this nip.
Oh, fuck me. No, it'd be good, though. Yeah. I think stuff like that is gonna become, you know... I think these escape rooms and stuff, these this experience economy, right, is gonna just evolve. Like VR is gonna help it as well, but there's gonna be shit like that where you have to solve like a very elaborate crime or something that's, you know, like fictional, but you know, you immerse yourself into it and it's very well done.
I, you know what, experience stuff seems to be big. We were in Borough Market up around Spitalfields in London, which is where the Jack the Ripper murders took place, by the way. And we were there. There's like a market there. It's nice. It's all frou-frou and everything. And just on Brick Lane, there's this bar. It was called something like Alcotraz, right? So it's like a play on words like Alcatraz, but Alcotraz.
Right.
You have to bring your own booze. It's all underground. And it's like a prison. And you go in there and you put on like a prison jumpsuit. And the waiters will smuggle the booze to you as if you're a prisoner. And they're smuggling the alcohol that you've brought with you to you. So they're cocktail. They'll bring cocktails to you. They sort of smuggle in. And there's like a warden that goes around and talks shit to you. You're in a cell and everything. And I was like, oh, man. The guy said, yeah, but you've got to book it. It's like fully booked for like a month.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what? It's like super, super popular. Like people can't just go for a fucking drink. They have to pretend they're in prison having a drink.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think stuff like that's going to get more and more popular. I think people.
And then the warden bums you in the shower, and you got to pay 50 quid.
Yeah, there's always got to be some form of sexual gratification.
Yeah, now the bumming.
I've got money. I need to get my rocks off big time, somehow.
Alcatraz. All right, we got lockdown. Wait, I'd like to leave. Not today. That's why it's fucking fully booked. They're all literally stuck down there.
Alcatraz.
People
that's
do like that
idea.
Dark tourist shit.
I wish I would have thought of that one. Maybe I need to start thinking about an experience for the people of Jersey. Like, we'll have like pretty soon. I'll have the whole island on lockdown with all of my business ventures. Right, like. You land at the airport, we're going to have the titty bar up there.
Local lawyer and Halford's owner, Sips.
Local lawyer. If you're ever on the news, I want that to be the caption underneath. Local lawyer and Halford's owner.
Then you drive into town and then you can go to like my cutting edge experience bar, which will have like a murder mystery.
Like it's
and
a strip club.
Some other
as well.
Petty crime that you have to
just
solve.
Combine all of your dreams into one, you know, terrific business venture.
All right, come on, prepare for your cavity search now. We're gonna put you into your Alcatraz cell. No, mister. I'm not trying to smuggle booze in my butt. I promise.
How about a strip club where you have to strip? That's the experience. The strippers are the patrons.
Yeah. Like it would appeal to people who like to like flash people.
But you could also like do all the, please put your underpants in this bag, you know, bend over, cough, like, you know, the whole thing, you know, like it could be like a whole prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. On stage.
And then they beat the shit out of you. That would
Yeah. Yeah.
I was watching that Louis Theroux documentary about prisons. Have you seen that?
I've watched a whole bunch of Louis Theroux.
Oh, man.
I've had to stop watching Louis Theroux, though. It's too fucking heavy now. Like,
it's very heavy. Like, when he does the stuff about the drugs in Huntington, it's...
Oh,
it's
God.
Just
they
so
had,
grim.
The last one was about postnatal depression and stuff like that.
Man.
And I just was like, oh, I can't fucking watch this. I just...
Yeah, it's just really...
It's
really
way
now.
Too heavy.
I think the difficulty partly is... that sometimes people, when they know they're on camera, it can change the way they act and the way they behave and things. And I think that's always like a dangerous thing, isn't it? When you point the camera in someone's face, I don't know, you're not sometimes getting a snapshot of these people's lives. You're kind of interfering and you can affect that. And it's sad to see like some of these people in situations they're in.
Hey, did you guys hear that Jeremy Kyle's been cancelled?
Yeah.
Fuck
a fucking
me.
Victory for decency.
Yeah, god damn, it's about fucking time. Like, it's such a
fucking
irresponsible
cunt.
Show that's been on the air for fucking so long now. Like, Jesus Christ.
What a fucking piece of shit he was. Fucking good riddance. I hope he never works again. I hope he ends up destitute and broke. And I hope that, I really fucking hope that one day Jeremy Kyle gets busted for something like, I don't even care what it fucking is.
It's fucking garbage, man. It's a show designed to make people look stupid, and he's just feasting on their fucking misery as well, like some parasite. What an ass.
Well, yeah, it ran for 14 or 15 canceled. Years, like fucking...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what, though? People should be ashamed of themselves for watching that shit, because if it got no ratings, it wouldn't have continued. People were watching that, lapping it up. Laughing at people,
a million
that were
people
poor
regularly
and
watched
not the smartest
it.
And in terrible situations. Stop giving fucking Jeremy Kyle the audience he does not deserve. Please,
yeah,
please.
Well, it's,
have
it's
some fucking
done
self-respect
now.
And have some respect for your fellow man. For fuck's sake, makes me want to puke. Jerry Springer, on the other hand, love it, love it.
Love me some Springer.
One of my favorite, you know, Maury Povich.
Maury Povich, yeah.
He in the case of Jackson Frithforth, he
Maury.
Is not your son. Woo! You are not the
Povich.
Father that dances and shit.
Sally
I love it.
Jesse Raphael, remember her as well? I don't know if she's still going. Fuck, oh, there's so many fucking shows like that. Like
Judge Judy.
Yeah.
Well, oh, Judge
what
Judy's
about
great.
Trisha?
Though.
Remember Trisha? That got canceled as well, didn't it?
She was on Pointless. You watch Pointless?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
Love that show. She was
it's
on that.
It's like an awkward time for us.
Judge Judith Scheinman was on Pointless.
No, Trisha.
Oh.
I would love to see Judge Judy on there. She's fantastic. She's fantastic. Because the cases are generally things like there was one where the guy, there's this guy and this girl is claiming that he stole her bag. And he says he didn't. And she's listing the things that were in the bag. And he interrupts and says, yo, that wasn't in there. And Judge Judy just sort of goes, just smiles and sort of bangs the gavel. Bam! Like, gotcha! I'm like, how fucking stupid are you, dude? He was like, no, now hang on. That definitely wasn't in there.
Oh my God. There was the other one. They got Judge Judy and they have that other one. It's like Judge Joe Brown or something. Judge Simpson.
Another victory for Chris Lovitz. Another victory for Jersey's finest lawyer sits today on Judge Judy.
I would love them.
As Judge Judith Scheinlin rules in favor of the lady whose handbag was stolen. The guy was forced to return the handbag with the containing
dildos.
Box of tampons and lipstick.
He runs the whole
daytime,
fucking island.
Daytime TV over here is so different to daytime TV in America, isn't it? Like, well, maybe
we don't
not
have
so
any
much
religious
now,
shows. That's one thing. There's a lot more religious shows in the States. Whole channels.
Yeah, well, yeah. But then you have, like, a lot of those. Remember they had, like, Phil Donahue back in the day? And,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Geraldo. Povich, and who's that other guy? Montel Williams.
Dr. Phil.
Yeah, Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Lots of shows like that. We only have, like, over here is really just Jeremy Kyle.
The one show.
And Trisha. The one show is more like variety, though, right?
You're right.
But then over here during the day, you have all that fucking shit like Homes Under the Hammer.
Yeah, it's all property, cookery, and crime.
Property, cookery, gardening, and like
traffic crime
shit. Yeah. Really light traffic crime.
Really, really mild. Guy was speeding. We got him. Good job.
Yeah.
Look how this guy's parked.
Yeah.
Ticket done.
It's funny
Case closed.
It's funny what's like how different it. I don't know. Maybe because I haven't lived in North America for a long time, so maybe it's different now. But I remember it being.
They have
very
a lot of property do-up shows. Because when I was last out there, like the shows that my dad and his wife watch, they have an awful lot of property makeover shows where people buy a shithole of a house and fix it up.
Right.
They do have cookery shows, but I don't feel like it's the same as we have
they
here.
They have fucking shows for anything. They have shows for everything. It's just any old garbage you want to watch, there's a show about it. Me and my brother Rob, we drive around the country picking up shit off the side of the road and seeing if we can sell it for money. Join us.
They had a lot of fishing shows as well. Have you ever seen a fishing show in North
Lots
America?
Lots of fishing shows, yeah.
Me and my brother Bob, we drive around the country doing fishing at all of the lakes. It's like, fuck it out. It's the same shit. Me and my brother Bob, we do up people's houses. That's right. We're going around to fucking Dallas today where we're doing up the house of an old fucking woman. Hello. Do you know what I mean? Oh.
Just me and my brother Bob.
These two guys of like 50% of all TV shows is this guy and his brother Bob. Yeah,
oh,
we
could
turn our hands to anything, me and Bob.
Me and Bob are going on a real hyper-realistic crime-solving spree.
All right, that's enough. Thanks, everyone. That's the Trifles Podcast for today. 99.2 FM. Don't change your dial.
Yeah, on your dial.
We'll see you next week, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Peace.
Patreon.